there are a lot of things that just tie together with the FDH Lounge and just kind of lead and flow from one thing to another with this this journey of the last 4 years. And as we've kind of set out tonight, even before that, some of the roots and the things that go back prior to the lounge, some of the precursors of it. But in the course of everything that we've done here, we become friends through the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Servillo, with Ira Lieberfarb, known as Ira from Staten Island, one of the greatest talk show radio callers, maybe probably the greatest talk show radio caller in the history of New York terrestrial radio. So I was privileged to get to meet up with Ira in person at the Browns-Jets game in November after having him on the show a number of times as our resident Jets expert. So I'm sitting there with Ira in the stands and catching up with him and getting to talk football, and it's just a lot of fun to be able to do that. I mean, it was cold. We were freezing, but it was a good time. And then Ira ends up waving over this gentleman here. Says he's got two friends that he occasionally sees at these games. They're big Jets fans also, and it turns out, lo and behold, there's a story to what these guys are doing that is absolutely incredible. If you didn't know it was true, if you didn't see it being documented, you'd have a hard time believing it. We have a link up to their blog here tonight at royaltytours.blogspot.com. It's Royalty Tours USA, and I'm speaking specifically of the Prince, Gary Herman, a new friend who I've been looking forward to welcoming in here. We've had this set up for about 2 months now to bring him in. It's good to have him in. Gary, welcome to the FDH Lounge tonight, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Well, Rick, how are you?
Oh, doing great, doing great. It's wonderful on a show like this to get to look back at some of the things that we've done, get to reprise an interview with a great guest from previously and sort of symbolize everything that lies ahead. I'm sure this is the first of a number of different times we'll get to catch up with you, with your schedule notwithstanding. But it's great to be able to have you in and tell this story. It is such a unique story, Gary. You, the Prince, traveling with the King here, 350-plus sporting events per year, and it's all true and documented.
Yes, it is. So first and foremost, I want to thank you very much for having me on the air. I definitely look forward to being on the air in the future. And we average around 350 events, give or take, but the reason why he's the King, he sees over 400 events a year. As I documented in my year in review, he actually saw 418 total events. He's more an emphasis on professional, which he wound up falling short of 400, and he had 399. I wound up with 338 total events. I make all the arrangements. I do all the executing, all the traveling, all the little things. That's why tonight I was trying to keep this night open. I probably knew in the back of my mind there was a game somewhere he could get to, but I didn't say nothing because I was hoping he can join me. But, of course, that wasn't possible because we have a friend in Philadelphia I was looking out for him because he didn't have his calendar handy. He has no idea where he's going one day to the next. So all of a sudden, the guy, Frankie, we know from Philadelphia, calls him up and told him he has a ticket for him for the Capital Flyer game. So that's where the King is.
Well, you know, 338 sporting events last year. Gary, you're slacking, man. At your pace, that's like you spent 2 weeks on a beach in Tahiti or something here, you know. You're used to 350-plus.
Yeah, on average. I'm really slacking now because I'm only up to 13. I've already had six. This is my sixth night off.
Uh-huh. Well, this...
I'm off to a slow start.
There are so many different aspects of this that I love. The fact that you guys have been to every stadium or arena in the big four sports in this country, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL, and that you've been to, because of the turnover in stadiums and arenas with construction in the last 15 to 20 years, many that no longer even exist. You've been to countless minor league stadiums and arenas. Same thing with college sports, whether it be basketball or football. But some of the things that I love the most about you guys are just the random things. The notion of you guys catching, a home-and-home with, who was it, the Lightning and the Capitals, I guess?
Oh, yeah, the King did that.
Okay.
He was fond of it, yeah.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about that?
I remember that. He went down to Washington on a Friday night, and the Capitals were playing the Lightning, and then the next night we saw them that Saturday night in Tampa.
But yeah, here's the great part. You guys took the train down to D.C., right?
Well, he went by himself. I didn't go. Yeah, he always takes a bus or a train.
Okay.
And takes a crazy trip down to Philadelphia, usually the night before we fly somewhere, early in the next morning. Well, it's best when he goes, he's like the only one on the plane that goes back to work. He used to start at midnight. Now he starts at 2 in the morning, to killer hours. He runs right to work, no sleep. Seeing all those events, you know, you do the math, 365 days. Well, obviously, he's seeing two games in some of the days, but those days he actually has a rare night off. This guy's going places with his eyes half closed. He always says his eyes are wide open when he goes to a game. Somehow he manages to stay awake.
I guess somehow you just fall into a routine and you're able to focus on it, and it's something that the rest of us probably just couldn't do. But, yeah, that story in particular, I mean, because I'm a connoisseur of great stories, and as I've told people about some of the things that you guys have done, I heard about that one when I was at the Browns game when you and I were talking. I mean, something about that, about the King taking a train down to Washington, watching the Capitals and the Lightning, take the train home, okay, and then you fly to Tampa the next day so that you can see both halves of the home-and-home series. I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's the sheer randomness of something like that. Neither one of you guys is a Capitals fan or a Lightning fan, but, if there's a random story out there that just symbolizes the whole living the dream thing, it might be something like that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I need to have everything pre-planned. I usually try to pre-plan everything, but speaking of about planning things on the fly, this Sunday, like you said, you know, we're going to Pittsburgh to see the Steelers. Just before I left work today, I secured a few tickets for the King and I. What's really funny is that we were in Foxborough Sunday night, and we were driving back. Normally, we would have a nice victory dinner somewhere at a gourmet restaurant, but we wound up in Warwick, Rhode Island at a Wendy's. But little did we know, we were going to run into a whole load of Jet fans. And this one guy in particular, Brian Moffitt, he's also from Staten Island. I mentioned Ira Lieberfog, Ira from Staten Island. He said he knows of him. He's a lifelong Jet fan. And we worked out. He got a ticket. His son hooked him up to get a ticket for the Steelers game. And we got talking. I didn't know him from a hole in the wall, but we're going to be meeting him Saturday. We're going to be driving. Me, the King, and him are going to be driving to Pittsburgh Sunday morning, and then we're going to drive back overnight. Which I already did. This is my third trip to Pittsburgh in the last few months because Thanksgiving weekend we had to get the Consol Energy Center out of the way to have every NHL car in the arena. So we went there. We went to Wheeling with our friend Lloyd and drove back overnight to get back to New York so we can come to the – we went to the Jaguar-Giant game that afternoon. Then we saw the Nets Blazers that night, and I was exhausted. I drove all the way back 422 miles or so. And then we were in Pittsburgh to open the new year. We went to the Winter Classic, and thanks to Mother Nature, we inherited an unexpected game in Youngstown State because we were in Columbus the night before, and our friends, Broken Opera, in particular Mike Err, who lives in Pittsburgh, and he's instrumental because he's the one that got us. He's the one that's going to be meeting somebody tomorrow in Pittsburgh and giving them the money for the tickets that we're going to be using for Sunday's Jet-Steeler game. And we went to the Winter Classic, and I had to drive back overnight for that also to see a Jet exhibition game, as it turned out, to go along with the rare one I saw on August 16th. But this Sunday will be my 27th NFL game for the season, including the exhibition game. I was in New England Sunday, and we were in Philadelphia the Sunday before. And people are asking me, are you not going to Indianapolis? Well, I wish I could go everywhere, but I can only afford to do so much. I did go to Indianapolis last year. We actually went to New England last year over Cincinnati, and I got questioned for that. The week after that, we went to San Diego, and we also saw the Kings and the Clippers play. And then the week after that, I went to the championship game in Indianapolis, and now we're going back for more. I'm afraid that if the Jets win, I really want to go to the Super Bowl, but I know there's no way in the world I have the financial resources to be able to do it. I don't know what to say about that, but I expect the Jets to beat the Steelers, and I know Ira from Staten Island is not going to miss it, so he'll definitely be at the Super Bowl.
He'll find a way. He always does, you know, by hook or by crook. Ira makes it to all of the games, no matter where they're at. But what you guys do, too, obviously, is so remarkable in its own right. Another one of my favorite stories, again, the Winter Classic in Pittsburgh. How great is that? You guys are there. I think it's bumped back from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night due to the rain, everything. Oh, gotta go somewhere. Gotta go watch something. Hey, Youngstown State's playing down the road. I mean, that going to Youngstown State hoops game is just, to borrow the word from that weekend, classic.
Well, we also had Cleveland State, but realistically, I looked at my my BlackBerry, and I was able to fill out the mileage and the logistics of it. The game started at 2 o'clock there, and it was a longer ride, so Youngstown State made all the sense in the world. Thanks to our friend Manny Morales and, like I said, Mike Irv for looking out for us. We were staying in Washington, PA, and by the time we found out, it was too late to cancel the room, so I had to drive a little extra. But we do whatever it takes. That's what royalty's all about, whatever it takes to get the job done and to minimize the cost and maximize the enjoyment. Yep. Like I said earlier, the king, you know, he may be exhausted, but he loves what he's doing, so he finds a way to keep his eyes open, even if he needs toothpicks to keep them open.
Well, here's a great thing, too. Folks can go on the site here, royaltytours.blogspot.com, go through, as I've done. I really encourage anybody to comb through some of the stories. It's only more so in recent years that you've been chronicling things to the degree that you have, but you have chronicled some things on there going back, and you can get a feel for what things have been like over the years from that. One of my favorite, again, random things from there, and either one of you guys lives or has lived in Chicago, and yet the King just saw his 100th game at Wrigley Field. Something like that is just incredible to me.
Oh, absolutely. Wrigley Field is the greatest ballpark on earth. So if you've never been there, I strongly suggest you get there. And it's really funny. I met a guy, Andrew Van Cleve, that actually lives right up the block from there. But I found out he's moving to Philadelphia because his wife's going to be a professor at Temple University over the summer. But I'm sure he knows all kinds of ticket connections. I know all kinds of great people all around this great country. So there's all kinds of, as long as you have a will, there's always a way. I went to Yankee Stadium. This is an amazing story. I went to Yankee Stadium August 6th this past year, 2010, a Red Sox-Yankee game on a Friday night. I was going the Labor Day weekend. The King couldn't make it due to work or whatever. I went out to the Great Northwest. I was going to see the Argonne Ducks play that weekend. And, you know, the time to be announced, it goes on forever. But I was at Yankee Stadium where we sit right behind home plate upstairs. That's where our season tickets are, section 420D, row 7. And I saw this guy with his Argonne Ducks shirt on. I asked him, "Do you happen to know what time the game is on September 4th? And he said, "Probably be an early game." We got talking. This guy is visiting New York with his family, his wife, his two sons and a daughter, and their in-laws with them. And we were talking. I wound up taking these people all the way back to their hotel in Midtown Manhattan, and we've been in touch ever since. This gentleman, Kevin Feist, he was the high school coach for Kellen Clemens. He played at Argonne, and he's been holding a clipboard with the Jets, but these people are great people. His son, Khalib Feist, who I met with his friends at the Argonne game, because he said he was going to be there, and I arranged to meet these kids. It was unbelievable. I mean, and they're all fans of my blog. I got so many people involved in my blog, it's incredible.
Absolutely.
It's really amazing.
I mean, you can keep tracking that on there, and you know you've intersected with some other folks who also go to a whole bunch of games in other places here too. Some of the ultimate road trip fellas you cross paths with from time to time, and that gets recounted on your blog. So many different things that you guys have done. Just going back over time again, if we're just talking about, I'm the kind of guy, I love a lot of the random kind of stuff. I love the one thing on there. You and I were laughing about this off air. Gio Gonzalez, nice young pitcher for Oakland, got himself a nice upside. But, I mean, right now I think you'd just say maybe a little bit above average as a pitcher with room to grow. But you kind of got to be enamored of him because it was funny as you're tracking it through here. You're looking at it, you're going, man, we just missed seeing him by one day in Kansas City, and then we missed seeing him by one day in Cleveland, and then we missed seeing him by one day in New York. And all of a sudden, it got to be a thing of, hey, got to see this guy. We keep missing him by one day in the rotation. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that cracks me up.
That's a beautiful story. Gio, he's such a great young guy. It's amazing. What happened with him is, I remember he got drafted. He's been bounced around. He got traded to Jim Thome. He went from the White Sox to the Phillies. He was in the Philly organization. The only time I saw him pitch was in Norwich, Connecticut, back in 2006. He was pitching for the Reading Phillies, and I remember he pitched really well. He pitched like 7 strong innings. And I thought that guy looked like a real good pitcher. And then we were in Sacramento. I knew it hurt the King a lot to miss a Met-Giant game because it's always Major League first over Minor League. But we went to a Minor League game in Sacramento on a Friday night because we got to get these ballparks eventually, but my way of doing things. And he was sitting at a table signing autographs, and I told him, I saw you pitch for Reading in Norwich. And he was like, well, you know, he always said to stay positive. And I told her, I travel all over the place. I'm going to try. It was really funny because we next year he pitched this incredible game at Yankee Stadium. And, of course, were we there? No, it was July 25th. We were in Boston that night. We like to go to Fenway Park at least once every year. And I've been there 91 times now, at least once every year since 1986. And we missed Gio that day, and I've been tracking him ever since. And it's just incredible how it worked out again last year, like you said. Yeah, we were in Cleveland. He pitched a Friday night, pitched a beautiful game. He pitched in Kansas City another Friday night, and we were there Saturday. When it comes to Yankee Stadium, it's amazing. A four-game series, I knew somehow I would miss him, and I went to Seattle because he pitched a Sunday and he pitched that Friday. And the Yankees played Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. And I went to Seattle that Thursday afternoon where I met up with this other guy, Joey Kraft, that I met at the World Series in 2009. It's just amazing all the incredible people I've met just in my travels in the last year or two, no less knowing the King for 25 years and this whole menagerie of guys that we know that go to sporting events. Unfortunately, some have passed on, but there's others that have just disappeared. Others still come around once in a while. It's just incredible.
Well, if you're looking for the course over the course of the next year or even two, looking ahead here, where accessible from your part of the country, Gio Gonzalez is likely to pitch a good game. Definitely catch him next time he's in Cleveland here. I think the odds will be very good that he'll have a very good game to his credit. I can say as a very bitter Indians fan, the odds are very much in your favor of seeing a sterling outing from young Gio Gonzalez here in Cleveland at the very least. Something I'd like to ask you, I mean, I guess it's the elephant in the room when we keep hearing these stories and everything like this. Obviously, you know, you've indicated, you know, you've learned the ins and outs of this. You've learned how to keep the costs minimal and everything like this. But I must say, I mean, me personally, if I were to be a hobo crossing country by rail, I couldn't do this on the tickets and everything else like this. I mean, everything that comes with this, and you've alluded to your work schedule and the Kings, so you guys are definitely working within confines here. I mean, certainly that's got to be the number one thing people are wondering on something like this. How are these guys able to make this happen?
Oh, well, thanks to the greatest invention of our lifetime, this internet is amazing. Because I don't want to pay people to do jobs. I used to call on the telephone and try to make reservations for car rent. I usually always rent cars all the time. I have an older car, and people tell me I should buy a new car. I live in New York, and where I live, there's no alternate side, but it's a lot easier just getting a nice new car, have friends chip in, people come along. It's all about teamwork. You can't do everything by yourself. I wish I could, but without the help of all these great people I've met and all the friends I know, we all put our heads together. We cut the cost this Saturday. This guy wants to drive, so I don't have to rent the car. He wants us to drive, too. That's not a problem. I was ready to drive there and back myself with the King. So, you know, cutting the cost, yeah, there's so many ways to get deals. But I'm just so busy that it's hard sometimes to get the best possible deal. But there's so many deals out there. You got to know people. It's all about connections. By meeting all these great people, I got people all over the country. So if I need help with something, there's usually somebody there that I can at least ask. Then when they want to come to New York, I do my best to accommodate them.
Well, obviously, that kind of reciprocity will take you a long way. Is it one of these things also, Gary, where when you're looking at this, I mean, I see a lot of things here in the course of your blog where you're talking about your what you're able to do with attending sporting events, and it stands to reason that obviously during the work week, the bulk of what you guys are able to do is – in the New York area, maybe Philly, anything that's directly accessible on a work night. Is it one of these things where you basically can do these things and that's more or less by rote? Okay, I'm going to the Garden tonight, I'm going to the Prudential Center tomorrow, whatever. But these road trips, it seems to me, these are the ones when you guys are doing a bunch of events and bundling things. Is it something where you're planning ahead weeks and weeks on the road trips and more or less handling the things that are a close drive on a weeknight, sort of just on a basis that you're used to?
Oh, yeah, you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what I do. I have minimal time off. I have minimal money I make. But, yeah, when I'm local, we live in the Northeast. We live in New York. We have access to 9 or 10 major league teams. So the number of events pile up, as opposed to these great guys we know from Buffalo, Andrew Kulik and Peter Fowle. These guys have been to all the stadiums as well. They have an incredible website. It's on my blog list. They live in Buffalo, so they can't get to all these games every night of the week. But the road trips, I have a photographic memory. I have everything down. I'm getting more technologically based. I have this incredible Excel sheet that has everything plotted out. I pretty much know the schedule in my head. The other day, the King's going to handwrite his schedule on a weekly calendar, his daily minder, and he's always amazed how I could just reel off. They just ring out a date. I was doing that in high school, too. It's like, just ring out a date, and I'll tell you exactly who's playing, and I'll write it down on his schedule so he knows. He has no idea where he's going one day from the next. Me, I have it all figured out. I have it months in advance. I'm pretty much set till September now. I'll change a few things along the way, but I usually have it all documented. I know I went to the Winter Classic to open the year. We have a trip. Another reason why I may not be able to go to the Super Bowl more than likely is I just booked this very expensive trip to go to the Heritage Classic in Calgary over President's Day weekend. We're going to be going back to Edmonton and Calgary. The only time we were there was back in 1998. So we're going to be doing that as well. I was dying to go to London to see the Nets over there because I haven't gone when there's been football because the King can't go because it interferes with the World Series or the League Championship Series. And he's the baseball king after all. He's seen 243 baseball games last year alone, and most of them were major league.
That is, these statistics are mind-boggling on everything that's able to be accomplished. They're 243, and that's, of course, within about a 6 to 7 month period there. That's if you include the playoffs in that total also. But you obviously can't be seeing games quite as often during the playoffs when there are so few games relative to the regular season. Approximately going back in time, what are the origins? More or less, when did you get out on the road regularly, and how much further back is it for the King?
Well, the King got going like in 1981. He's a little older. He's a lot older than I am. But we met up in 1985, and it's just been unbelievable. Our first real road trip, we used to take Greyhound, which is funny. Back in 1988, that was our first trip. Like our first trip together, we hit the road. I remember I worked in retail, and I was able to go. We went like 3 different weeks in a row. We came back on the weekend or something. It was just wild. I went to Wrigley Field for the very first time. And I've been there every year since 1988. The place is off the charts. It's just been unreal. Every year we're traveling. In 1984, I remember going out to see my uncle in California. I went to the Summer Olympics. I saw a baseball doubleheader in the Olympics in Dodger Stadium. I went to San Diego. I was in Oakland. I went in 1986 to Anaheim and Candlestick Park. Then 1988, I hit the road with the King. We've been like on a 20-plus year rampage. And it's funny, we were on Greyhound from like 1988, 1989, 1990. And I got to relive those days a few weeks ago because of Mother Nature. I flew out to Chicago. And Southwest Airlines, due to the weather, canceled my flight, and I had to get back to work. My only resort was I wanted to rent a car, but they wanted an arm and a leg, so I had to resort to taking like an 18-hour bus ride back from Chicago, which I remember doing back in the late 80s. We left my friend James Gabriel, and I went to Wrigley Field, and we caught a bus around 5:45 on a Friday after a Cub-Astro game, and we came all the way back to New York the next morning around 11:45 in the morning. Probably went to a game the next day, too. Knowing how crazy we are.
That's right. Yeah, you got caught out there. There was the Bears-Jets game that you were out to see, ironically now with the Final Four being set, a potential Super Bowl preview, as it were. But you were out there for that at Soldier Field, and I think it was Wednesday of that week. I ended up getting a text message or an email from you. It indicated you were on Greyhound. You were sending it, obviously, from your phone. You're going to be passing through downtown, I guess making a change at the Greyhound station there at midnight. I was not able to make it, but Gary, I will tell you, if there was any one person that I would have relished the chance to drive through bad snow to get to a crappy, violent area of town at midnight to talk to, it would have been you, but on a work night, no less. But with those factors being in play, it just wasn't in the cards. But these are the kind of things I guess you have to adapt to when you've got the schedule that you do.
Oh, yeah, it was just amazing. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought of possibly running into you. There's another lady I know from Cleveland that we met up with in Japan. Her name is Beth Ann and her son, Dustin. We met a few other people in Japan when we saw the Mets there back in 2000. Yeah, we go to Cleveland every year, so I see plenty of Indian games. And when I was in Chicago, we saw the Blackhawks also, and this guy Bob DeVries, we met up with him. It was funny because you were talking about Gio Gonzalez earlier, and he was actually out in Oakland that Sunday before he came to Yankee Stadium. He saw him pitch, and he pitched damn well that day. Bob had got us tickets to go to the Blackhawk game, and he gave me a ride from the Bear game to United Center because I didn't have a car rental, and I wound up taking a train to my hotel downtown. Yeah, that was a wild trip. And I wound up getting back to the hotel, and I had to walk over to Greyhound, lug my bags there, find my way home, shovel snow just to get into the house. It's just been what an adventure.
Well, that's the price you got to pay to travel like royalty sometimes. No question about that. I think one of the other things people are going to want to know, going to want to hear from you, we talked about this with Wrigley before. You've indicated that that would certainly at least be on a short list of your favorites. But and having been to all the places out there, I remember a couple of years ago, some folks were kind of surprised that there was a survey of all the arenas and stadia in the Big Four that was done by the Sporting News. And of all things, the number one thing above Wrigley Field, Yankee Stadium, Lambeau Field, et cetera, was actually a Nationwide Arena in Columbus where the Blue Jackets play. So that was kind of a surprise. So, I mean, having been to all of these ones here and even sort of the unlikely favorites like Nationwide, give us a short list of what some of the best ones are that you've been to. And obviously, you've been to all of them.
Well, I favor the old ones, but it's ironic that you bring up Nationwide because I was there New Year's Eve for the fifth time. We were there 10 years ago on New Year's Eve. Everybody raves about that place, and I can see why. It really is a beautiful place. That place is really one of the best modern arenas. There's no doubt about that. But I'm an old-time fan. I was fortunate enough to be – I'm just old enough to be able to say I went to the great Chicago Stadium. That place was unreal. I went to the Maple Leaf Gardens, the Boston Garden, the Montreal Forum, all these great old venues. Lambeau Field twice before they renovated it to see the Jets. I've seen the Jets in over 30 stadiums all over the country, including Champaign, Vanderbilt. And you go to these college venues, they're unreal. So those places are amazing. Even the new renovated Soldier Field, what they did to that place is unbelievable. If you can afford to sit in the upper deck in the first few rows, I mean, the players, it's like old Tiger Stadium. The players are literally in your lap. It was unbelievable. It's so intimate. The way it used to be, it was all pushed back. Now it's like straight up. It was an unbelievable view. And it was freezing cold that day when I was there, but it was unreal. The Tiger Stadium, Fenway Park, you just can't beat those places. Now, Jacobs Field's a nice place. It's unfortunate it's so deserted these days, but that's a nice place to watch a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
The queue right across the street. It's unfortunate that Trader ran away.
Yeah, well, it
ran away from town.
It was funny because after I met you at the Browns game, I just, you know, I knew that, you know, you're crisscrossing the country here. And I said, hey, you know, maybe I'll catch you, you know, if you're in for a Cavs game or something. I love the straightforwardness and directness here of the Prince. You were like, I got to be perfectly honest with you. I'm perfectly honest with everyone I deal with. No, I will not be coming in for a Cavs game this year. That will not be happening. So I was like, okay, well, maybe during baseball season. And I think you're down for like July 7th or something. So if I'm in town on July 7th, we'll definitely hook up for a baseball game then. It's great that you can do that, plan it out like that. You know, you sent me your past itinerary and where you'd been and everything like that going back through the years, at least the years that you had documented in Excel. And it is just eye-popping. One would be well advised to duct tape your head so it doesn't explode as you're reading something like that. I mean, every place that you've been, you know, the way that you have it documented, this is, you know, you are leaving behind something big for posterity, my man. No question about that.
I greatly appreciate that. It's all the facts. There's no make-believe here. I have ticket stubs. My mother would kill me. She just thinks all I know is ball games. I have so much stuff. It's unreal. And the memory bank I have, and well, it's technology now, with a digital camera and a BlackBerry. It's amazing what you can do and all this. And this blog that I got to start, even while going to all these games, that has to be the most amazing thing of all. What I love to write, I just needed to get a push. And this guy from Japan, Sean McDonald, that I know, we saw him in Pittsburgh. He knew that we were going to be in town. This guy comes, he's been coming, we didn't know him until like 2003. We met him through the guys from Buffalo. But he saw on my schedule last year, January 31st, the Kings happens to be a Red Wings fan, and they were going to be in Pittsburgh, and he never got to the Civic Arena. So he was going to be in Atlanta. He took a special plane ride to Pittsburgh to meet up with us so he can see a game there and see us, and I drove him back to the airport. And then he gave me that final push to get this blog started, and it's been rolling ever since. And all the people I meet, all the encouragement I get, I love it. I got a guy from Stadium Journey, Paul Swanee, who I met through Andrew Van Cleve. He got in touch with me. I've never met the person, but this guy from Stadium Journey is on my list. He has write-ups. He has people do write-ups. He does write-ups about every venue, all four sports, college, even doing stuff in the soccer in London. The England soccer, these guys from Buffalo went over there. It's just unreal. I got to catch up with Stadium Journey. He did an interview on me. Asked me how I do it. How can you see all these 350 events while working? Well, you got to close your eyes during lunch every so often. You know, do whatever it takes to stay afloat and maintain a workload.
Yeah, it is amazing how you and the King are making it happen. No question about that. Looking ahead to this year, you touched on a few things here. Are there any keynote things that are really kind of jumping out as you're seeing it right now? I mean, obviously, you're able to, with the release of the MLB schedule, go as far as looking at the season there. You're obviously handicapped in looking past that because we're not going to know first of all, the NFL probably won't be playing next year, at least at the outset. But the NBA, the NHL, you don't know that beyond this year. But from what you do know, from what you can see, what are some of the big things jumping out at you?
Like I said earlier, the Heritage Classic is going to be a real big one now. Now that the Winter Classic's out of the way, the AFC Championship game is now coming right up. The Super Bowl, as much as I'm dying to go there, I'm enjoying to the fact that I'm probably not going to be in that monstrosity anyway. I love Texas Stadium, but this new monstrosity in Dallas, the new Jerry's World, or whatever you want to call it, I'm probably better off in front of a TV screen with fellow Jet fans watching the game instead of that corporate crowd. We're everyday type people, dedicated to all walks of life. I probably feel better being home as opposed to being there. Unfortunately, I would love to be there, but it's just really like the King always says. It's not he knows his place, and I don't think we fit. So,
you know,
going forward, I'm planning to go to open the season up in Florida. King's a little reluctant. It depends on his work schedule. But my uncle moved to Florida a few years ago. I like to go visit him. They're closing down Dolphin Stadium, or Sun Life Stadium, as it's now known. I know it's not the greatest of stadiums, but we haven't seen a regular season game there since 1993, the last game of the year. I think it was a rain-shortened game. They only played like six innings because the rain wouldn't stop. But we did see the World Series there, 1997 and 2003. We've seen a ton of playoff games and World Series games in that building, and a few Dolphin games, especially in 1998 when the Jets were there and they took care of business after we were in Tampa. And we saw the Steelers played the Buccaneers in the rain that day. Then we took a Southwest Airlines flight. It was December 13th, I believe, 1998, back to Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, everything since September 11, 2001, you got to draw the line. What you did before that and what you do after that, because it's so hard to travel nowadays. They want to charge you for every little thing and make it really tough to travel by plane. So,
Exactly. Yeah.
Quite
you know, if the airlines can't gouge you for all the extras, then the terrorists win. I think that's how the credo goes. But by the way, too, thanks for bringing up the 1997 World Series, pal. It had been a good long while since I'd even thought about that and tortured myself. Thank you for bringing that back to the fore while you were at it. But
I have to be perfectly honest. I wasn't even thinking about the Indians playing that. I had no intent. I was at the World Series, yeah. I'm starting to be absent-minded like the King when it comes to that. Yeah, it comes to thanks for refreshing my memory. I remember Edgar Mantaria was a hero of that series. Al Leiter was a big hero. I'm not trying to add insult to injury, but, yeah, you refreshed me. Well, better yet, in the 2003 World Series was another World Series that was a classic, and 2000, because we got to see all the games of both World Series.
Right.
And the King and I are both big Mets fans. And, boy, in 2003, when the Yankees when Josh Becker came into Yankee Stadium, did what nobody else could do, win a game six there and shove it down the Yankee Stadium fans' throats. Boy, they were in stunned disbelief. It was amazing.
Yeah. That was a good moment during the thing anyways. But, I just look forward to hearing more of how this modern adaptation of the King and I unfolds all across the country here at all these different sporting events and everything else here. Gary, we're going to keep up with you with everything that's happening on your site here, royaltytours.blogspot.com. And again, as I've indicated to you off air, the New York Bureau and I, we are committed to trying to help you find the right business opportunities to maximize this thing here. A story like this needs to keep going, needs to keep unfolding, and we as your new friends want to do what we can to play a productive part in that. It was great to have you on here tonight. We, of course, only scratched the surface with you, as is going to be the case with something like this. Look forward to bringing you back over time. I know you don't have a whole lot of stray nights off here, but when you do, look us up, my man, and we'll do it again.
I can't thank you enough for having me on, Rick. I hope I can find many Tuesday nights to be off, because coming on and talking to you would be an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate
you
that, Gary. It's great to have you.
I can't thank you enough. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. No question about it.
Thanks.
This is a night for me to remember forever. This is unreal. It's been quite a day. I'm in the works of finalizing this deal for tickets. My friend's going to pick them up. I knew I was coming on with you. It's just been unreal. I better block some Tuesday nights out. I need to free myself up and make time for you.
Okay. All right. We'll keep getting stories from you. We'll keep hitting you up for stories about how this is going here. We love stories on this show, and everybody involved, all the FDH Lounge dignitaries involved, all the members of the ensemble, were excited to get you on and know we were going to do this. Thanks, Gary. I promise we'll do it again soon.
That sounds great. Thanks
all right.
again, Rick.
Take care, friend.
Night.
Good to have you on. Gary Herman.